Well, Joshua chapter 1 this morning. The story of Joshua is a wonderful story in the Bible. Joshua chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I will always think of Chris Zacharias when I read this verse. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and all the people, all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Israel stands facing their new land. For 400 years in Egypt and 40 years in the wilderness, the heartbeat of every Israelite was for the promised land. And now they are on the brink of it. Moses is dead. A change in leadership has taken place. Joshua is their new captain. They are poised to cross the Jordan and enter the land of promise. But before they do, it's as if God cast a look backward and forward. They need to analyze the past and with anticipation face the future before they enter their new land. It's two looks with a solemn thought. Ye have not passed this way heretofore. It's all brand new country out there. So before you enter, give two looks, one back and one forward. And ladies and gentlemen, 2023 is uncharted territory for every one of us. And we need to do the same thing. First of all, let's look back with Israel at two things. First of all, is there a Passover in your past? Passover is a special night in Israel. It is the night that they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It is the night in Egypt, in bondage, in slavery, that God delivered them. But for that to have happened, the blood had to be applied. A lamb was slain as a type of Jesus Christ. The blood applied on the top of the door and both sides in the form of a cross. When God saw the blood on that house, He passed over, and the avenging angel of God did not kill the firstborn. It was such a special night. And it is where it all began. It is where blood was applied for redemption. Before we close out this year, ask yourself this question. Was there a time when the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to my life for redemption? Hold your place in Joshua and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Do you know for sure this morning that you have been saved? Can you go back to a Passover night in your life? And I would ask you a couple of questions about that. When did it happen? It is as real as you being married this morning. And guys, you better know when you were married. Don't you even think about saying, oh, it's not that important. I know I got married and that. You try to convince your wife of that. Second of all, where did it happen? Where were you when the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to you? How did it happen? The world has many ways of salvation. God only has one, and that is by grace through faith. What happened following that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And ladies and gentlemen, that's true for every one of us. All of that is very plain to me this morning. September 14th, 1969, Art Wilson was preaching a revival at Temple Baptist Church in Odessa, Texas. I came forward. A deacon dealt with me. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I asked God to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And my whole life, folks, totally changed. In your life, can you go back to a time and a place? Before you close out this year, make sure there is a Passover in your life. I beg you to do it. Second of all, have you experienced God walking with you? And I'm not talking about anything mystical. After the Passover night, God led Israel. There was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God provided for them in wonderful ways. He provided water out of an old flint rock. He provided manna. He provided quail. They knew he was a reality. And let me just ask you, folks, have you experienced that? That you know that Jesus Christ is a reality and the Holy Spirit living in your life? If you haven't, when the problems come, it's hard to deal with them. I know this. Storms are going to come to each one of our lives this new year. I love spending the night at my grandma's house. All around that little old house was big elm trees. And there was a terrible storm one night, and lightning flash, and the trees were silhouetted against the window. A big old clap of thunder. I remember it so well. My cousin and I ran into Grandma's room, but she wasn't there. She was in the living room. She was reading, and she was calm. And we ran in and said, "We're afraid, Grandma. The trees are going to fall on this house and going to smash this house." She was somewhat amused. She took us out to the back porch. And we stood there, the rain on our face and the wind blowing. She said, "Those trees, boys, have deep roots. They love the storm. They bend against the wind. God is in the rain and God is in the wind. Those trees will stand." And ladies and gentlemen, they're still there. I know this. If I have experienced a Passover and God has walked with me in a real way, when the storms come, I'll be able to handle it. And my look back will always let me know that God is faithful and that He is always there. Second of all, let's look forward. This new year will have its share of heartaches, problems for every one of us. I can tell you four things about this new year that I guarantee will be true. Four things that God told Israel before they went in to the new land. Back to Joshua chapter 1. First of all, there are His promises. Look at verse 3. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." That holy land, ladies and gentlemen, is the only land that God ever deeded to anyone, and it is still theirs. It's a great promise. One reason why I challenge you to read your Bible through, the promises of God are there, and they will do something for your soul. Second of all, there is His power. Look at the first part of verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." You think that Moses had the power of God on his life? Sure he did. God told Israel, "My power will also be upon you." Each of us who is a believer, we enter this new year with a promise of God's power. He has said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." How many of us charge into life and the only power we have is our own power? And ladies and gentlemen, that's not good enough. We need God's hand upon us. For years, people stood beside the mighty Colorado River. It was hot in the summer. It was cold in the winter. They witnessed the incredible power of that river, but still cold and still hot. Boulder Dam was constructed, and the mighty power was harnessed. It provides AC in the summer and heat in the winter, and all you have to do is flip a switch. God has always given power to His children, to Abraham and Moses and Joshua and David and Elijah. And in James chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a promise from God. And then there are the procedures of God. Look at verse 7 and 8, Joshua chapter 1. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is a promise from God that you follow His procedures, you follow what He wants you to do, everything's going to be fine. Surely you have struggled to put something together and you're looking at it and say, I can't figure this out. And your wife says something really sweet like this: why in the world don't you follow the directions? Why don't you just do it right? And when you follow the directions, it makes a difference. God said, if you're going to live in the new land, live according to the law. Live according to directions. People are always looking for shortcuts. And ladies and gentlemen, they don't exist. Not in business, not in your marriage, and not in your Christian life. If you want to be successful in this new year, first of all, be faithful to worship. Be faithful to the house of God on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Second of all, read your Bible through. How could you be strong physically if you didn't eat? Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You've got to feed your soul. Third, you need to pray. Talk to God. Clear the time. Don't pretend this new year that everything's okay if you're not praying. Fourth, get involved in ministry. Do something. Sing or usher or teach or work on the buildings or clean the buildings. I'll not mention him by name. But we have an individual in this church that comes by periodically because I've seen him do it many times. And he just washes the outside of the windows. All our places here. He just goes and does that. He doesn't want accolades. He just wants to be involved in ministry. And then, last of all, God promises His presence. Look at the last part of verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That is a wonderful promise to Joanne Matheny, because her husband used to tell her that. God will never leave you or forsake you. Let me ask you something. Have you ever talked to two starry-eyed people in love and you ask them, where are you going to live? And they say something like this: well, it really doesn't matter as long as I'm with Him. That's not corny. That is really, really beautiful. What the new year holds, I don't know. But with God there, it's going to be okay. He is still in charge of it all. This can be your best year personally if you walk with God. I beg you to do it. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the wonderful story of Joshua and how he was led of you to be a blessing to Israel, and how they faced a lot of formidable things in their future, but they were able to overcome them simply because they trusted you and obeyed you. Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, the blood has not been applied to their life, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit at this very time would speak to their heart and say, when the invitation starts, you need to go forward and allow these people to show you how to go to heaven, to show you how to apply that blood to your life. So, dear Father, we ask that as we face this new year, that we will trust you and we will obey you in all things. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for this wonderful nation in which we live. And Father, we pray for our country. Thank you, dear Father, for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to sing a couple of verses of an invitation hymn. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning, we give you an opportunity to step out, come forward, kneel around this old-fashioned altar as we sing. Please come.
I have decided to follow Jesus.